This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti. Great to be with you on 97.5, the Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee's Sports Monster, and 107.5 Alive. I have two special guests this week. Former NFL linebacker Emmanuel Acho. He's back on the show. We had him here a couple months ago. This week, Emmanuel celebrated his 30th birthday with the release of his new book. So that's a pretty awesome way to celebrate a birthday. He's going to be on to talk some football and much more also about the new book for sure. Also, Doug Horton, my Faith on the Field partner, he's going to be here to share a very powerful testimony I want everyone to hear in case they haven't heard it before. We're going to get right into it this week and start with Emmanuel Acho. Emmanuel played four seasons in the NFL, 2012 to 2015. He was drafted in the sixth round by Cleveland. He played 2 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. Last game he played in the league was 6 years ago with the Eagles. His life after football has gone very well. Emmanuel this summer became co-host of Speak for Yourself with Marcellus Wiley on Fox Sports 1. He launched a video series called Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. That video series has been watched more than 65 million views. His guests have included NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Matthew McConaughey, among others. Oprah Winfrey saw the video series, reached out to Emmanuel, and her imprint published the book titled Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. It debuted this week, it released this week, and it's already a top five seller. So I want you to hear Emmanuel. This is my conversation this week with Emmanuel Acho.
Emmanuel, we're at the midpoint of the NFL season. Who do you see as a front runner in each conference right now? Obviously, you look at the AFC, Chiefs, Steelers, look at the NFC, and it's up for grabs everywhere. Who do you see as the front runners?
Man, I'm so glad that my answer is about to be what it is, because at the beginning of the season, I put out a tweet, Robert. I said, Saints versus Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And thankfully, I see the Saints as a front runner in the NFC, and in the AFC, I do see Chiefs and Steelers. But if it's a coin flip, give me the Chiefs over the Steelers as it stands now.
Well, you mentioned the Saints. What was your biggest takeaway of that beatdown they put on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football?
They still got a chokehold over the division. They've won the division 3 straight years. They said, nah, Tampa, we don't care what you do to everybody else. You're not doing it to us. The Buccaneers have outscored their opponents by 93 points. They're 6-1 against everybody else except the Saints. The Saints have outscored the Buccaneers by 46 points. So Tampa can go out and wax everybody else. But what New Orleans said was, when y'all see us, it's going to be a different story.
Can Tampa rebound from this? Do you think Brady gets the troops together? He's still got Antonio Brown, just joined the team. They're still working on chemistry. Obviously, defense has got a little ways to go after that performance. But can they get this thing corrected?
They can, and they will. The question just becomes for how long, right? With Tampa, you dominate, you lay an egg against the Bears. You dominate, you lay an egg against the Saints. You laid an egg against the Saints in week one. So the issue is, if you lay an egg every 3 or 4 games, by the time you get into the playoffs, when is that egg going to come? Because for the Buccaneers, it's not enough to just go to the playoffs. Let's be real. You got the greatest quarterback of all time, Hall of Famer Antonio Brown, Hall of Famer Rob Gronkowski, Hall of Famer and Mike Evans. At least that's what Tom Brady says. It's not enough to just get to the playoffs. They got to make it all the way to the dance.
I covered Andy Reid's entire career in Philly, and a knock against him by the end, Emmanuel, was, well, he can't win a big one, and his offense is too predictable. Last year, he won the big one. And it seems to me now he is more and more creative with his offense. Is that a product of Patrick Mahomes and the talent that he has? Because Donovan McNabb was a pretty talented dude too. Or is that just Andy evolving and adapting and adjusting his style?
As a product of playing with house money. When you go to the casino and you start winning a little bit, the money's not yours anymore. So now if you lose, you're not as concerned with it. Andy Reid has won a Super Bowl. The whole world knows he's a top two offensive mind, him and Eric Bieniemy in the game. So when he goes out there and runs ridiculous plays like he ran yesterday, Patrick Mahomes catching a snap while in motion, taking a 360 and throwing a touchdown pass, if it doesn't work, not a big deal. House money. So it's really a product of Patrick Mahomes, but now Andy Reid is just, he's coaching very freely. There is no hot seat for Andy Reid. for the next 5 or so years.
The joke of the NFL is obviously the NFC East, and I happen to see what the Eagles look like on a daily basis. They're leading the division at 3-4-1. They're the front runner in what is the worst division in football. And there was talk last week. There were actual questions that I thought were ridiculous and asinine of Doug Peterson to bench Carson Wentz. Where do you stand on that? Because I know, Emmanuel, you're more sensible than a lot of the hot takers out there.
You can't bench Carson Wentz. That's ridiculous. The only reason people are having the conversation is because of Jalen Hurts. But I would submit that Carson Wentz is actually doing more with less than just about any quarterback in the National Football League. Carson Wentz has a practice squad receiver last year. Travis Fulgham, since week 4, leads the NFL in receiving yards. Obviously, the Eagles had a bye week this past week, so maybe some other receivers had overtaken him. Carson Wentz has the most players on IR in the NFL. I think they're a top 3 IR team. Without Alshon Jeffrey, without DeShaun Jackson, without Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert was hurt for the longest. Miles Sanders was hurt. Jalen Reagor was out for forever. And it still somehow has this team at first in the division. He's actually doing a pretty good job given the circumstances. A lot of turnovers, I get it. But he also has 17 touchdowns.
Last time we spoke, it was just around the time where your show, Speak for Yourself, was expanded to a couple hours. It was obviously, we talked about you getting that job 4 years to the day where you first auditioned. Emmanuel, what has the past couple months been like for you with everything that you have going on and doing a daily show like that?
A whirlwind. Keep your priorities in order and prioritize your orders. Like it's chaos between Speak for Yourself, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man, the book, the show, everything going on. It's just a matter of make sure you give your time to what you need to give your time to, Rob. So been crazy, been really good, been very fulfilling, but I am running on fumes very often.
Well, you touch on that book, and I want to get into that. Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. The show is over 65 million views, which is just incredible. It's phenomenal. The book releases this week. You hit so many important topics throughout that book. I want to ask you first about one that I can relate to, and you probably don't even know this about me. You grew up, you said, with an identity complex because your parents are from Nigeria. You're going to a private school, a white school predominantly. Kids are calling you Manny instead of Emmanuel. My real name isn't Rob. It's Rabia, R-A-B-E. It's the Arabic word for spring. I had that same thing growing up, and it shaped kind of my childhood, and it played a big role in many mistakes that I made along the way and who I eventually became. How did that experience maybe shape you early? How did you overcome it? And what would you say to young kids who, like us, may have gone through something like that?
I would tell young kids, one, don't doubt yourself and soak it all up. What do I mean by that? Soak it all up. An identity complex is bad because of the word complex, but it also can be beneficial because of the multifaceted growth that can occur. See, I was Nigerian American, but was immersed in white culture and was immersed in Black culture, which is why now, Rob, I'm being able to have these conversations. See, at the time, I didn't know if I was Black because my white peers would say, Emmanuel, you don't even talk like you're Black. You don't even dress like you're Black. You're like an Oreo, Black on the outside, white on the inside. But now looking back, I'm like, wait, I was able to learn from all of those different environments, and that's actually been a benefit to my life.
In a chapter about reverse racism, you shared a story, your second season in the NFL, your first season with the Eagles, and being bullied by a defensive lineman. Can you share with the listeners, because you really explain and help dismiss that idea of reverse racism.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, reverse racism doesn't exist. Racism can exist, but like reverse racism is a man-made concept of nothingness. I tell the story of my second year in Philly. There's a defensive lineman. He just didn't like me for whatever reason, totally different. I don't really go out. He's a go out kind of guy. I'm a little more reserved. He's a little more loud, whatever the case may be. And finally, after practice one day, I say to him, you're the worst teammate in the history of teammates. And I said, imagine how silly it would sound if someone said, Emmanuel, you were being a reverse bully. No, I was just simply standing up for myself. Let us not mistake people, Black people, brown people, standing up for themselves against the likes of oppression and systemic injustice and racism. Let us not mistake that for reverse racism. Now, if Black people are going to be prejudiced against white people, call that racism, but reverse racism makes no sense.
What would you like to be the biggest takeaway? I mean, obviously there's so much information in this book, and you go and explain so many different topics and dive into it and tackle it. And you do make it uncomfortable, because I'll tell you what, as I'm reading in the introduction, I grew up watching Dukes of Hazzard. It never occurred to me, Emmanuel. It never occurred to me. And I take a step back and I go, huh, wow, how about that? That is uncomfortable, right? What is the biggest takeaway you hope people will get out of this?
I hope very simply that people realize they actually have the ability, and it is up to them to change the world. At a minimum, change their world. See, Rob, if you can change your household, you can affect that city, because your house, it exists in that city. And that city can have a domino effect on the state, which resides within the nation, and the nation ultimately the world. But we have to each make independent decisions to affect our world, our individual world. When I was a kid, I used to play with dominoes. And I would line about 50 dominoes up. I'd push the first one down and watch them all start to domino down, tumble down. See, but Rob, I never thought, at least imagine, the first domino never thought that it would knock down the 50th. The first domino's objective was to knock down the domino closest to it. And my goal for this book, you don't need to knock down, change the mind of the person in a neighboring state. Change the mind of your neighbor. Change the mind of the person in the neighboring bedroom. Let's do that, and let's see the ripple effect.
I want to ask you again, because I know last time we spoke about your conversation with Roger Goodell. Have you had an opportunity maybe to follow up with him? Do you stay in touch? And what are your thoughts on what the NFL has done? We're now midway through the season. What they've been doing, the social justice initiatives, and how far do we have to go?
Yeah, I stay in touch with him and his team. They'll reach out at random and vice versa. And sometimes I'll just send them positive notes, or they'll send me positive notes when they're doing something committed to the efforts of justice. Again, I don't think racial reconciliation is a finish line we'll cross. I think it's a road that we'll travel. And I'm just glad that the NFL is now choosing to travel that road. Some people may condemn the NFL for the pace in which they're traveling on the road, but I am glad that we're choosing to travel that road, because unlike a football game, Rob, we won't be able to look up and say, touchdown, we scored against racism. But what we do have to say is, okay, we're marching down the field. Let's all just march down the field towards reconciliation together.
Last question for you, and for me, this is the most important one, and I know it is for you. You write in your Twitter bio, there's so many things you can say. The number one thing you say, if I followed one, it would be Jesus. Why do you say that, and why is that so important to you?
I like letting people know who I am, what I stand for, and why I live my life. I don't live my life as my own. I live my life for Christ, for Jesus, for God who sent me. And so I like letting people know the only reason I have the ability, the capacity to love others and try to love others well is because someone loved me first. And that's really what it is it's hoping that this precedes me. I want everyone to know that, like, I didn't start in comfortable conversations because of me. I'm only so gifted. I'm only so skilled. I was called for this moment. I'm being used as a vessel for this moment. It's not about me. I'm just glad to serve.
Well, the book is out. It's available. I hope everyone gets their hands on a copy. I know you have something coming up with Oprah, too, as well, correct?
Yes. Oprah and I have a conversation. We're having one live Wednesday, November 11th. So you can go to my bio on Instagram, my bio on Twitter. uncomfortablecombos.com/book, B-O-O-K, and you can register for that event as well.
Awesome. Emmanuel, as always, man. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Pleasure's mine.
That was Emmanuel Acho. Great chatting football with him. I've started reading Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man, so make sure to check that out. It's a terrific book. I want to get into what Emmanuel said when I asked him about his Twitter bio, which is also on his Insta and other social media. And he writes, if I followed one, it'd be Jesus. And I love that, because I feel the same way, of course. And when I asked Emmanuel, you just heard, he said, I like letting people know who I am, what I stand for, why I live my life. I don't live my life as my own. I live my life for Christ. And so I like letting people know the only reason I have the ability, the capacity to love others and try to love others well is because someone loved me first. And that's really what it is. And I think about that and I go, we live in this world where people care so much about social media. We're always on our phones. We're always in our phones. We're always staring, scrolling, posting. And we care so much about follower counts. And we care so much about likes and shares and all that stuff. And we follow this person. We follow that person. And then people are judged by their follower count, which is, it is what it is. It's unfortunate that that's what we are in this world. And we want to be followed. But Emmanuel sums it up so beautifully. If I followed one, it would be Jesus. And I say yes. Like, absolutely yes, 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 yes. If I followed one, forget about everyone on my follower count, it would be Jesus. And I am a follower of Jesus. And Jesus changed my life because I followed him, and I feel the same about Emmanuel. I don't live my life as my own. I try to live for Christ and live like Christ and be like Christ. And that don't mean I'm going to do a good job of it every day. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'm going to fail at it daily, but that's my goal. That's what I strive to do. That's what I hope to do. Christ is at the center of my life. And I wonder if more of us take us a little step back and go, you know, we live in this world where it's so much is put on fame and fortune and wealth and status, and celebrities have so much power, and entertainers and athletes for sure, and everything's going on in the world. But as we saw during COVID-19 and the pandemic and the shutdown, when there were no sports and there was very limited entertainment, and hey, we kept going, radio kept going strong, but the power and the reach and all of the status and all of the fame and fortune, it's limited. It's limited because you know what? God's in control. No matter what any person here on earth has, or no matter what their follower count is, no matter what their reach is, it's still limited in comparison to God. And he's the one who's the creator of the universe. He's the one who's in control of everything. He gave us what we have. He could take it away at any time. And to think about following Jesus, what does that mean? If I followed one, it would be Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? When I think about what it means to be a follower of Christ, and I've talked about this before for sure when I shared my testimony, yeah, I grew up knowing who Christ was. I grew up knowing all about Jesus. I went to religion class. I went to church. I went to Catholic schools. So I had a great wealth of information about who Jesus was, but as I've said many times, my life did not dramatically turn around until I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. As I went from someone who knew all about Jesus into becoming a follower, into having a relationship with the Lord. And there's a big difference between being, I say, I was a fan of Christ and then became a follower. There's a big difference between knowing and following. And what does it mean to follow? What does it mean to follow Christ? Well, to follow Christ, it means to, one, understand that, hey, he is my Lord and Savior. He took that cross for me. He died for my sins. I have that grace. And that grace is such a amazing, wonderful gift that I'm forgiven, that my sins have been forgiven. And I know that I'm going to sin again tomorrow, and I'm going to sin against the next day, but they're already forgiven because Jesus paid that price. And now, as a follower of Christ, I want to do my best, one, to share what he's done for me. I want to do my best to try and emulate him. I want to live like him. I want to love like him. I want to care like he cared. I want to forgive like he cared. And I hope that every day I can get better at it. See, being a follower of Christ is to fully immerse yourself in the love of Christ, in who he was, in what he stood for, and try and do that here on this earth. So for Emmanuel to have the platform that he has and to use it to say, if I followed one, it would be Jesus, I applaud him. I think that's incredible. That's beautiful. That's phenomenal. And I say the same thing. If I followed one, it'd be Jesus, because that's who I follow. And every day, I hope to be more like him. Up next, you're going to hear a very, very powerful conversation with Doug Horton, my partner for Faith on the Field.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is JT Romito, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com. Listen to every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can also listen anytime at your convenience. We're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list. Get our episodes delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you follow us also on our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy's at Remy Motti on all of her social media. We'll let you know about speaking appearances, events, everything that we're doing. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages and fuller length interviews with a lot of different players that I've been doing, especially for the AP Pro Football Podcast. I want to bring in Doug Horton, especially because we're on two new stations and many people out there who are listening to us, Doug, have not heard your story. They've heard me talk about you as being my partner and helping me launch this show. But before we get into how all of that happened and how all of it developed, let's start with this, man, because you right now, I'm talking to you in your home, you're dealing with COVID-19, and for all those out there who may think this isn't real, it was politicized, whatever, you're dealing with it. How you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better today, Rob. You know, it's been about a week since I came down with some symptoms, and last week really, really knocked me out. You know, extreme fatigue, bad headache, hard cough. Obviously, you know, people are suffering from a lot of different symptoms, a variety of symptoms. I feel like I'm a little bit lucky where it hasn't been that bad, I guess, but not fun. Definitely not fun.
Were you able to figure out through any kind of contact tracing or whatever it may be, how you got it, where you got it? Now, I know you're out in, as a teacher, you run a boot camp, so you're not sitting at home doing nothing, but you're also being cautious everywhere you go and everything that you do. Were you able to figure it out?
You know, Rob, I wasn't. I think that a lot of people, it kind of exploded all at the same time. Yeah. And I don't know that it was a progression. I think everybody was like, man, I don't feel good. I didn't feel good on Wednesday. And there was a lot of people that said that. And then they started getting tested and found out they were positive. So I didn't know of anybody that I was around prior to me getting symptoms that had had it to where I felt like I was being irresponsible or with somebody that I knew. But it is going around, you know, the college that I work at, there's a lot of kids that are kind of coming down with it. So it's floating around a little bit. Kids are starting to get sick. I have some friends, and then my teenage kids, they have friends that are getting it also. So who knows? It could have been a combination of, you know, a couple of different interactions.
Well, the way it's hit, the way it's going, and the potential for in wintertime, more people, numbers, we see them rising. The best we could do is just tell everybody, be careful, be cautious, be extra careful, whatever you do, don't be stupid, and go out there and do whatever you have to do to get through each and every day. But as you're doing it, be careful. And as for right now, no one that you know has it so serious to the point where, you know, it's become life-threatening, correct?
I am hearing some people that have had it for a pretty long period of time, and it's been pretty serious. And, you know, some symptoms that I didn't experience were the extreme shortness of breath, or losing your taste or losing your smell. And I know some people that have had that. And, you know, extreme fatigue has plagued some people. So it's been out there, and even some people that have even had to go to the hospital because of it. I would say that it is getting a little bit more serious. These aren't necessarily older people. These are, you know, parents, you know, 40, 50 years old. So, I'd still say be cautious out there.
No doubt. Everybody be careful. Doug, I want to turn to a little bit, because a lot of people who are, again, listening to us on new stations in Florida, new stations in Philly, new state, whatever, everywhere that we are now with Faith on the Field show, haven't heard how the two of us got together, got to know each other, and eventually came up with launching this show, Faith on the Field show, in April 2017. And we're recording on Thursday, November 12th, and Thursday, November 12th, today is a 6-year anniversary for your son, Luke, passing away at, how old was he? Three months, four months?
Four months old.
4 months old. And you and I lived in the same development in South Jersey, a few doors away, and didn't know each other. I didn't know until that day when I saw everything happening, and then found out through a text message from mutual friends of ours, because we played on the same softball team, prison ministry softball team, what had happened, and I reached out to you. So I want you to take it from there and just kind of share that story, because for you to go through that, for your wife Chris to go through that and still be so faithful and still remain so strong is such an incredible testimony that I think people really need to hear, especially now in these tough times.
Yeah, well, first of all, Rob, the fact that we can even share about this and to say that it has been a blessing, that's still God answering my prayer. You know, when it happened, it was out of nowhere. And my prayer at that time was that if God would take Luke, that he would use him. And it's been amazing to see God's work and still his hand in so many different stories, so many different relationships. And obviously a day like today that we think back about his life and we remember him. So many people still reaching out and saying, hey, we love you and we thank you for your testimony during this tough time. And it keeps it in perspective that, you know, we all go through very difficult times. And obviously 2020 has been difficult for, I would guess, almost everybody, right? But to help keep us focused that God's still in control, God's still good in the good times and God's still good in the bad times. But 6 years ago, my wife and I went to a parent-teacher conference. We have three older girls. And came home, and Luke had passed away during his nap. And they said it was SIDS. He did test positive for the flu during that time, but it was shocking to us, and it really changed our world. During that time, my wife and I, we just decided to turn everything over to the Lord. Growing up in a Christian home, going to Christian school, knowing the promises and character of God, it was a challenge at that point just to say, hey, will we continue to trust all of those promises and character of God, even in the most difficult and tragic time of our life? And we decided to do that. And so many people from the community, so many people, friends, family from the church, from our past that just reached out and comforted us during, really over the past 6 years, even up to today. And, I'm thankful for so many ways that God has allowed Luke's light. And, you know, that's what we use Matthew 5:16 of let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. And for us to kind of make that our family motto and our family verse, and really God just answering that prayer and allowing Luke's light and our story to be told and to really impact and encourage other people as they go through really difficult times. Obviously, Faith in the Field has been a tremendous blessing and a great platform to share about Luke, keep his memory going, and really just, you know, Rob, as our kind of hashtag, as our one of our mottos is my story, his glory, mm-hmm. and really being able to use that to say, hey, you know, this is what my story is, and this is how I give the glory to Christ. But, you know, 6 years later, we think about all the ways that God's used Luke. You know, I think about, you know, the book that you wrote and the opportunities that we've had in many different occasions, whether it's been at a church where you've been speaking, doing men's groups across the country that we did together, book signings, just meeting people that say, hey, I went through a difficult time. And, you know, Rob, your powerful testimony has a great way of reaching so many different people. And all the people that we came in contact, it just, you're able to reach and allow God to say, hey, I'm going to let your story today affect this person, or I'm going to let, you know, this story affect this person. It's been a huge blessing just to see God continue to work and just meet people where they're at.
I think, Doug, one of the most incredible opportunities when we go back to the first year of the show, right? Mm-hmm. And we had the event at Eastern University with Carson Wentz, Trey Burton, Steph Wisniewski. And it was 4 days before the Eagles season opener, and the season that they went on to win the Super Bowl. It was a rainy day. They did a tremendous job making sure everybody was. People sat out there, 2,000 people in the rain for several hours waiting. It was a free event, just come out, and we had the big stage, and it was our first time putting an event on like that. It was so, everything about it, the magnitude of it was incredible. And then just turning it over to you at one point during that entire night, that evening, that event, and saying, here you go, share your story about Luke with this audience, and then giving them an opportunity, whoever at the end wanted to turn their life over to Christ when Pastor Kyle did an altar call, and then to hear people who heard you share that story, who have their doubts, who have questioned God, who have questioned their faith, who wonder why bad things happen to good people, and then for them to realize it. When you reflect back on that, that moment, that opportunity, what does it make you feel?
It makes me feel grateful because, you know, those are things that we try and orchestrate ourselves. We try and take credit for. And you know, Rob, going into that whole situation, there's so many different things that happened just in that small little window of time as we did that event that we just laugh at, because you're like, I would never have written it this way, right? Even the people that were posing those questions, you know, it's, you know, and if you think back to that time, there was actually a tremendous, there's a national emergency where there's flooding that was in Houston during that time.
That's right.
And it was really devastating. But you know, Rob, I mentioned to you before that my prayer was that if God was going to take Luke, that he would use him. And, you know, to take that story a little bit further is you put that in your book, Birds of Prey, and the Eagles go on to win the Super Bowl. And for me, growing up in Southern New Jersey and just loving the Eagles growing up, you know, that was an awesome thing to see and be a part of with Carson, Trey and Steph, and then the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. But when you put that kind of glimpse of our event in your book, you know, I always look back on that and I'm like, God, that is you just saying to me specifically, like, This is how I can reveal to you that I'm still in control and that I love you. And to see Luke in a book about the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles it's awesome in the fact that that's an answer to prayer. And that's the way that I really look at it. And so that whole event as it unfolded, and honestly, for how people have come to me since then and just even read that little blurb, obviously the book's very powerful and so many different great stories that are in there. But, you know, for a pastor friend to say, hey, we just had a friend in our congregation that lost a baby or is going through a difficult time. Like, what would you say? And I said, this is what I would say. And I just sent him a picture of the book, of the page. Mm-hmm. And to see God use it in multitude of ways. And I keep it on my phone because I'm amazed by it. Even people to reach out and email saying, hey, I just read the book for the first time, even though it took them a couple of years, and to say this is powerful and it's still impacting me. I'm thankful because God's using it. I'm thankful because Luke's remembered through it. And I'm able to look back and just say, wow, if God was with me during those times, then he's with me during 2020. He's with me during a 6-year anniversary. He's with me, just when I feel down or I get sick, you know, and to continue to trust his plan is just a constant reminder. It's a daily choice. But I think back on all those times that he has walked with me, and I just reflect and I hold on to those.
I got to ask you, because there's a lot of people who are probably listening right now for the first time hearing this story and going, how could you be so strong? How were you able to get through that? But there were moments of, there had to be moments of doubt, moments of difficulty, moments of how could you do this, God, anger, bitterness. How did you get through it?
Yeah. And Rob, I'll tell you, to be honest with you, they still are, right? I mean, there still is when I look back and I see pictures that are popping up, or I'm reminded, or my, you know, we have two little girls since Luke that are 4 and just turned 2. And they start asking, they're like, what about my brother? What about my brother who they never got to meet? Like, there's still constant pain. I'll give you a quick example. This is probably the greatest analogy that I've heard for what it's like to deal with grief is, you know, when something bad happens, it's like a huge box and it has a pain buzzer inside of it. And there's a ball inside. When grief first happens, that ball is extremely large, and almost everything you do, the ball bumps up against this button and you feel the pain. Over time, the ball stays in there. However, it gets smaller and smaller over a period of time. So there are certain days or certain weeks, certain times where that ball hits that buzzer dead on. You're like, wow, today was a rough day. But there's also some good days, and understanding that, keeps perspective, and it's okay to have a bad day every now and then. But what I've learned is that when you are having those bad days, you really do need to find where your foundation is, and you need to get back into the scripture. You need to be encouraged, and there's going to be voices that are going to be speaking to you. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to try and say, I can offer you comfort. I can offer you peace. And a lot of those are negative. And so it has to be that choice that I'm going to go to the things, not out of resentment, not out of anger or despair, but to go back to the things that we hold true. And that's really what it's been. It's been a daily choice of saying, okay, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm going to continue to just trust God, because I know that he's been faithful to me and I need to stay faithful to him. It's been hard. It's been really hard. But you need friends, you need people around you, that are going to encourage you and be like, hey, listen, I'm praying for you. And you know, it's crazy that sometimes even when you're struggling the most, God will send that little text message to you, or I'll send a little bit of an example to say, hey, how you doing today? I know today's a hard day. Mm. You have to allow that to reel you back into the truth. And that's how we've gotten through the last 6 years.
I know one of the people who played an important role for you at that time was Pastor Phil Moser at Fellowship Bible Church in Sewell. And when we started this, he was a part of the show. It was me, Pastor Phil, and yourself. And I want to take people to that, because I get this idea, and I've shared this enough that they know that I had this idea to do this show after sitting down with Pastor Kyle, Take Jesus to Your Marketplace, but I was still holding back. I was reluctant. How do I go for it? What do I do? And sometimes you need people around you where you share those ideas and they say, hey, let's go. And you had reached out to me with Pastor Phil and invited the both of us to it was a 6 a.m. men's Bible study, right? Weekly, which, you know, I wasn't going to do. I was like, I'm not doing those 6 a.m. So what was it? He had like a group of 12 men who meet at 6 a.m., but then he said, all right, for the two of you, we'll do it at 9 or something like that, right?
Yeah, you're still doing that. That's when we could go to baseball games, and you're out pretty late.
Yeah, it was like September, or was it? I don't even know. No, it was.
No, it was like February. So I think even before that, Phil had written, he wrote a book, a series of books, Biblical Strategies.
Yes, which yes. Late 16. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and the Eagles had drafted Carson Wentz, and Phil was like, hey, I would love to give these books to Carson because I've heard about his testimony, and I would love to just encourage him with these books. And I said, hey, Phil, you know, I might have a guy that might be able to get them to him. And
that's right. Yeah,
and
I did.
And so
yeah,
I contacted you, and you got to meet Phil, And I guess I assume that maybe you gave, I'll put you on the spot. Did you give Carson the books? I think you did.
I did. Yeah, I did. So. In a lot. Yeah. In fact, because I left him at his locker and then came back and told him that, you know, I had dropped those off. And yeah, that's right. Because then he got an opportunity to meet Pastor Phil like several months later. I was like, that's the pastor who did, who wrote those books. So, all right.
Yeah. It's just really weird how it all kind of intertwined and worked. That's why I say it was totally God just working in awesome ways. And I do remember that it was a day in January because it was one of my first days of teaching. And it was the first day of class, and we met that first day in January. And
that's right, we did the Bible study in the morning, whatever it was, 9 a.m. or something like that. I missed those. They were some good studies. You, me, and Pastor Phil, and then I dropped this idea on you guys. I said, "Hey, I'm looking to do this. I want to do a show." We didn't have a name at the time. Which one of your girls came up with the name? Was it Paige?
I think it was Gracie came up with it. Yeah,
Gracie. We were going back and forth with different names, but you were all in. You were in. Pastor Phil was like, "Yes, let's do this." We put it together, and here we are, 3.5+ years later. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're on 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee. We're on 107.5 Alive. We're about to add a live stream somewhere else too, which I got to tell you about. So I'm dropping news on you right now. So we're doing all that, but it's been incredible. And you know, Pastor Scott Foreman's playing an important role for us, and he's the assistant pastor over there with Pastor Scott. And then Pastor Kyle was on the show for a long period of time. So yeah, you're right. And what happened though before we got to that point is, and I didn't even share this part of the story, is we went to Ohio on a crusade. It was Ohio or Kentucky? No, this was Ohio. You did Ohio. So we were in Ohio on a crusade. And for those who may not know what that is, we're on a prison ministry softball team. And 5 days a year, we go on this crusade. We get in about 10, 15, 20, however many prisons we can, play all these softball games, but share our testimony. Well, the particular day that you were, had the opportunity to share yours, we played basketball because I guess the weather was bad, so we couldn't get out on the field. So we're in the gym, right? We're in the gym, and you get the microphone, and now it's halftime of the basketball game, or game was over, I don't know, whatever it was.
Halftime. Trying to catch my breath.
Right? Yeah. And you start, and by the way, you're a pretty good basketball player, and you share your testimony, and I'm sitting up there because we mingle with the inmates who are just watching, and I'm sitting next to these grown men who are listening to you, and they're starting to cry, and they're moved by not just your story about Luke, but the strength, the courage, the testimony, and your resolve, and your resilience, and the way you were able to stay firm, you and Chris and your family, in your faith. And I know a lot of men answered that altar call that we gave, or that right there on the court that day. And that's when I was like, man, Doug, we need to get this story out. We need to be partners in some way. And that's how then came Phil and the Bible study and all that, because that was summer of 2016, and that preceded my conversation with Kyle. But yeah, man, wow, it's been an incredible, incredible journey, man.
Yeah, and you know, Rob, leading up to that time, you know, I had gone into prisons before, but it was just a different opportunity then to know that I had a different story to share. You know, like my you know, my testimony completely changed, and I think that if it was prior to that, you know, I hopefully God would have, you know, put a message on my heart to share, and it would have been impactful. But for the first time, I can say to an inmate that's in Ohio, you know, listen, I know now what it's like to deal with loss, and I know what it's like to try and fill your life with this void with maybe drugs or alcohol or other worldly things. And, you know, I'll tell you, Rob, like sometimes that's, you know, you want to take a pill for the day and just check out. You know, and or you'd want to, or just give in and be like, I'm just going to try and take my pain away with whatever else it might be. And we just never went there. But I can understand how people would do that. And the goal was just to hopefully share with them that Jesus can fill those voids, that maybe the things that landed you in prison and in trouble, that God can set you free. And it was a tremendous opportunity. And I just thank God for that opportunity to share and that so many people received him well. And again, that's another opportunity. Just looking back, that's an answer to prayer. That was God saying, yes, I will use his life and I will use this story to make people's lives change. And hopefully it planted other seeds for people that maybe heard another message another time that had been softened through that too. So it was tremendous. It was tremendous.
Well, it's something that I hope that people can listen to, understand, recognize, and feel like there is a way out. Your pain, you're not alone. Your suffering, your depression, your anxiety, your addiction, whatever it is that you may be going through, whatever troubles, there is a way out. And the way out isn't the easy road. It's not to whether you're thinking about turning to drugs or alcohol or whatever vice it may be. For me, it was Jesus. People know my story. For you, you already had that relationship, but it strengthened and it grew and you leaned on it in those tough times. Because we tell people all the time, right, Doug, God never promises us a life without storms, but he's always going to be there with us when we surrender, when we turn our life over to him.
Yeah, we're going to face those storms and we're going to face those trials and tragedies. That's a promise, right? And yeah. I think sometimes we try and tell people, turn to God and you'll have joy and peace and hope, which you will, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to be roses and, you know, amusement parks. It's going to be, you're going to face those difficult times where there's death in your family, there's loss, there's bad news that happens. And are you going to choose to act out in anger and hatred and resentment, or are you going to be able to lean on Christ and have forgiveness and understanding and still find hope and joy in the midst of all that? And, you know, Rob, you know, I can't not say, you know, when we did launch the show in April of 2017, you know, we always talked about when we'd be able to share the story. And, you know, I didn't think it would be 2020 again also, but if you remember, I think it was the third show that we ever did.
Yeah.
And that week there was two tragedies that had happened in the sports world. Where Isaiah Thomas, who had played for the Boston Celtics at that time, his sister had gotten killed. And then I believe it was Todd Heap had a child that got killed.
He actually ran over accidentally in a driveway, right? Yeah, that's
Yeah, and they both happened right in the beginning of the week. I think we were recording coming into that, mm-hmm. and we were like, this is maybe an opportunity that God's writing to share. And I just look at that. God just orchestrating so many things. And we open our eyes up to those opportunities and saying, okay, God, you're in control. I'm not going to lose focus of that. And you see how he can use it.
Wow. Incredible, man. Incredible. And stay strong, stay firm, keep sharing. And I know that Luke is, his life was not for waste. And I've said that to you before, because his short period of time here on this earth, so many people have heard his story. So many have come to Christ because of it. And the kingdom has increased through that little boy and through your family's strength and courage. So I appreciate you spending some time on this episode sharing on his anniversary. And hopefully you guys all can hit no one. I don't want to see anyone else in your family, man. Don't give me no text saying anybody else got the COVID. I hope he goes through and you're okay. And yeah, it's been a while. I haven't seen you, man, since what, February? Since before the quarantine.
No, it has been a while. You stayed in Florida for too long.
I hit out for four months and I might be hiding out there again sometime. But Doug, as always, thank you so much.
Hey, Rob, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Caron University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Caron is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Caron is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at caron.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti. I want to take a minute to thank all of our amazing sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have a variety of packages, whether you want to be part of our radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, 97.9 ESPN in Tallahassee, or 107.5 Alive, or all three, or just our podcast, or a combination, our social media, whatever it is, we can make it happen. We post video clips of our interviews, so there's a ton of ways you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. And if you don't have a business to advertise on but just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. So you could check that out. I want to thank Emmanuel Acho for coming on the show and check out his new book, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. Big thanks to Doug Horton, my partner, for sharing his powerful testimony on the show and all the work that he does for Faith on the Field, along with Pastor Scott Foreman for his hard work for Faith on the Field. Thank you to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, and 107.5 Alive for airing Faith on the Field show. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.